This week, a flaw in MySQL could allow rogue servers to steal files. A state agency exposes 3 terabytes of data, including FBI information. How cyber criminals are cleaning their dirty money. A critical remote code execution flaw in Linux apt, or APT, allows remote attackers to hack systems, and how to protect against a new breed of cyber attack. Jason Wood from Paladin Security joins us for expert commentary on how attackers used LinkedIn job ads and a Skype call to breach a bank's defense. All that and more on this episode of Hack Naked News.
This is Security Weekly, for security professionals by security professionals. Broadcasting live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island, it's the show that brings you the security news each week. And despite popular belief, we do wear pants. It's Hack Naked News. Do you have a website, an external presence, employees, an office? Any of these things can be compromised and attacked. How are you defending your assets? Have you penetration tested your public assets? Start 2018 by taking a proactive approach to securing your vulnerable areas. Black Hills Information Security has been helping companies find their weaknesses since 2008. Email consulting at blackhillsinfosec.com and see how they can help you sleep better at night.
Welcome to Hack Naked News. This is episode 204 for January 22nd, 2019. I'm your host, Paul Asadorian. Quick announcement before we get into it. Of course, RSA is coming up. The 2019 conference will be the place to be for the latest in cybersecurity data innovation and thought leadership. It's being held March 4th through the 8th, of course, in San Francisco. I'll be presenting there. We'll be doing interviews. Lots of fun stuff happening at RSA. So if you're out there, make sure that you come find us and maybe even watch my talk. It'd be great. Thanks. Hey, the RSAconference.com, actually RSAconference.com/securityweekly-us19. You can go there and use the discount code 5U9SWFD to receive $100 off the conference pass. And now the security news for this week. A flaw in the MySQL code could allow rogue servers to steal files and clients. There's a lot more to this story, and I encourage you folks to check it out in the show notes, wiki.securityweekly.com. There is a link to all of the stories we mentioned. So this flaw resides in the file transfer process between a client host and a MySQL server. It could be exploited by an attacker running a rogue MySQL server to access data that could be read by the client. A client receives file transfer requests from the MySQL server based on the information it provides in the load data statement. A rogue server could send load data local statement to the client to get access to any file for which the client has read permission. It's being used and exploits are being traded on the dark web. Again, more stories in the show notes for this episode. Zero Patch is releasing a micro patch for the Windows Contact Remote Code Execution 0 day that we featured on the last show, last episode of Hack Naked News. So it's difficult to trust third-party patches, yet here we are. Quote from the article, Zero Patch is a solution that aims to fix 0 days unpatched vulnerabilities, of course, and in end-of-life and unsupported products, providing patches for legacy operating systems as well as vulnerable third-party components and customized software. Users who want to implement the micropatch have to install and register the Zero Patch agent. Not sure how much you trust Zero Patch. If you do or don't, write us, let us know. Haven't heard of Zero Patch before this article. And again, I caution users against third-party patches for a lot of reasons, support from Microsoft being one of them. But nonetheless, the option is out there for those brave souls who wish to embark upon this journey. A state agency has exposed 3 terabytes of data, including remote logins of the FBI. The Oklahoma's Department of Securities exposed 3 terabytes of files in plain text on the public internet this month, which contains sensitive data, including social security numbers, details of FBI investigators, credentials for remote access to computers, and the names of AIDS patients. Researchers at security company UpGuard found the files using Shodan, the search engine, of course, which indexes the internet on any connected device. In any case, they ran across an unsecured rsync server registered to the ODS, or the Oklahoma Department that I mentioned earlier. The Microsoft Partner Portal, speaking of exposures, exposes every support request filed worldwide today. Basically, this article describes in a very fancy way a situation that Microsoft is fixing and had very little impact. The article states another Microsoft small biz specialist contacted the news organization, I forget who it was, it's in the show notes, and say they logged into their Microsoft partner portal to check the status of an open ticket, and then they see lots of tickets which don't belong to them. No customer details were visible. It's really just an embarrassing snafu that will get Microsoft in trouble with data protection laws or watchdogs. However, this will leave the American multinational with more than a few red faces. Getting in the bin, Let's Encrypt gives admins until February 13th to switch off TLS SNI. There is an attack against this particular protocol or type of TLS certificate. In January of 2018, Let's Encrypt discovered that validation based on TLS SNI 01 and its planned successor, TLS SNI 02, could be abused. As they explained at the time, a company might have investors.techcorp.com set up and pointed at a cloud-based hosting server, but not investor.techcorp.com. An attacker could potentially create an account on said cloud provider and add an HTTPS server for investor.techcorp.com to that account, allowing miscreants to masquerade as that business and with Let's Encrypt HTTPS certs to via TLS SNI 01 to make it look totally legit. More details on that attack are in the show notes. How are cyber criminals cleaning their dirty money? Criminals are a crafty bunch sometimes. I mean, there are your fair share of dumb criminals, and we like to talk about those stories as well. But this one's pretty crafty. It should come as no surprise, according to the article. Criminals were booking fake Airbnb stays to launder money. They used credit cards and money transfers from mule accounts to book and pay for rooms through the peer-to-peer platform. All of this conducted online in a very effective way to turn illicit proceeds into legitimate earnings. Plus, it has the added advantage of moving many of these payments across borders. And the article counts many different ways in which similar attacks are executed against larger organizations such as Airbnb and even Uber. A critical remote code execution flaw in Linux apt or APT allows remote attackers to hack systems. Get updating your systems. Oh, but what if the software used to update your systems is vulnerable? As of just today, a security researcher revealed details of a critical remote code execution flaw in the Linux apt X program, exploitation of which could have been mitigated if the software download manager was strictly using HTTPS to communicate securely. Discovered by Max Justix, the vulnerability to CVE-2019-3462 resides in the apt package manager. Of course, a widely used utility to handle installation updates and removal of software on Debian, Ubuntu, and other similar Linux distributions. Beware of the man in the cloud. How to protect against a new breed of cyber attacks dubbed man in the middle cloud. Man in the middle attacks for cloud. It'll make sense in just a moment. To gain access to cloud accounts, attackers take advantage of the OAuth synchronization token used by cloud applications. The majority of popular providers, of course, Dropbox, Microsoft OneDrive, Google Drive, so many more, use these tokens on a user's device after initial authentication is complete, of course. This is done to improve usability so users aren't entering their password every time they attempt to access the app. They have, what is called an OAuth token. Now, once executed, the victim's device that's being attacked, the malware installs a new token belonging to the new account that the attacker has created and moves the victim's real token into a cloud sync folder. When the victim's device next syncs, it'll sync the victim's data to the attacker's account instead of the victim's. Very interesting attack. Very simple, too. A clever smartphone malware concealment technique, Schneier on Security Reports. This is, of course, a game of cat and mouse is my take on this one. Malicious apps hosted in the Google Play market are trying a clever trick to avoid detection. They monitor the motion sensor for input of an infected device before installing a powerful banking Trojan, making sure that it doesn't load on emulators that researchers use to detect attacks. This is a tried and true method of attackers to evade such types of research and forensics. I'm sure you could emulate the emulation of your emulated system making some kind of motion or emulate that motion, but can you detect the emulated motion in an emulated environment is the question being posed by me to attackers. Attackers used a LinkedIn job ad and a Skype call to breach to the defense. We'll talk more about this in expert commentary, but a Skype call was set up for an interview and the employee of said bank was tricked into executing an executable that then gave the attackers access to files and ultimately the resulting internal network, all done via responding to a job ad and tricking the victim into a Skype call. Now, you may say, well, yeah, we could block Skype, but this is certainly playing whack-a-mole. Training awareness, secure file transfer solutions, advanced endpoint security, and more could have been much better layers of defense rather than just stating, well, everyone should just block Skype. Not a reality. A bug in widespread Wi-Fi chipset firmware could lead to a zero-click execution. Basically, a device manufacturer supplies the appropriate firmware images and operating system device driver. So during startup, a driver can load the firmware, enabling main functionality to the Wi-Fi socket system on the chip. The vulnerability is in the ThreatX proprietary firmware, but according to the researcher, the most interesting one, so there's several vulnerabilities, but the most interesting one is a block pool overflow that can be triggered without user interaction as the device scans for available networks. The vulnerability can be exploited when a Wi-Fi device is, of course, looking for available networks and doesn't require user interaction. The vulnerable chipsets are used in devices such as the Sony PlayStation 4, Microsoft Surface computers, Xbox One, Samsung Chromebooks, and more. With that, we'll take a short break. Come back with expert commentary from Jason Wood. Stay tuned.
Today's determined attackers easily bypass even the most advanced network defenses. Trying to ramp up staff to detect their back doors can cost thousands of dollars and take months, even years. With Active Countermeasures AI Hunter, we enable junior analysts to detect even the most advanced back doors in a matter of hours. Sign up for a demo and purchase our product today by visiting activecountermeasures.com/PSW. Active Countermeasures, make every analyst a hunter.
Join us this April 1st through the 3rd at Disney's Contemporary Resort for InfoSec World 2019. Fantastic event, brings together those business folks, hackers, you name it, are all converging in Florida for InfoSec World. I will be giving a talk and we will be conducting interviews, briefings, and hacker movie trivia. The discount code is OS19-SecWeek. It gets you 15% off the main conference or world pass. And now we welcome Jason Wood of Paladin Security to talk more about this attack against, I believe it was a bank in Chile, Jason. Is that correct?
That is correct. It was a bank named Red Bank in Chile. So this was kind of interesting. It was actually, and one of the things that I thought was fun about this story, as long as you're not the one being attacked, I suppose, is how memorable the story is. It's something I found when doing some physical security testing and things like that as a consultant, is how much people remembered some of these things that happened inside of their organizations. And so we talk about doing security awareness inside of our companies, and a lot of times these things get written up and they're really dry. And yet here now is a good story, I think, to pass on to folks about some of the risks or the scams that could be used against them. So yeah, a Chilean bank named Red Bank has a security incident where basically they ended up with an attacker on their internal network. And this came about because the attacker ran an ad, job posting, on LinkedIn and waited for somebody to respond. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. Toss a lure out there and see what happens. And a developer, basically, on Red Bank was working at Red Bank, noticed this and decided this sounded like an interesting job opportunity And so he contacted them about it. He or she contacted them about it. They set up a interview over Skype in this particular case, as Paul mentioned earlier. And from there, they, you know, they went on and they conducted what I assume would be a job interview, you know, something very kind of normal. The interesting part was at one point the attacker posing as a hiring company says, hey, we've got this in-house application built to for all of our candidates to apply to. So if you could download this application and run it, that'll allow you to apply for this job. And there's actually a write-up, which I'll include in the show notes, on what the application was. But it looked like, you know, it was actually collecting information about the person, their name, their
Wait,
age.
Wait, Jason, sorry. What direction was this in? I think I misread that in the article. Was this like an employee of the bank that was applying for a job somewhere else? Or was it the
An
reverse?
Employee of the bank was applying for a job somewhere else.
And
while they're working, okay. You know, during the day, they have a phone screen via Skype.
Right.
And they say, yeah, download this application app. Now, this is always a potential issue right here.
Yeah, and on your company work computer.
On your company work computer and apply for the job. And
I see.
They did. Unfortunately, this thing was a backdoor and gave the attackers access to the inside of this bank. Now, the article actually goes on to say that this organization ran the ATM networks in Chile. Or a large portion of them. So that was a big deal. The attacker pivoted through the employee workstation and started scanning around looking for other systems to compromise. Now, this is where they got caught, actually, was this internal activity. And they got shut down really before anything got too far out of hand. Now, one of the things I think is interesting about this story is most of us could recognize ourselves or people we know, you know, people we know would recognize themselves in this type of situation. Hey, I'm looking for a job. I'm looking at LinkedIn and I find a job posting that looks cool. So I apply for it. I don't know how they targeted this thing. I'm sure, you know, maybe some geographic, obviously, focus, but regardless, you know, you get called and asked to set up a phone screen via Skype or Zoom or whatever it is. And, you know, remote work is becoming more and more common. I mean, I've lived now in Utah for 10, 11 years, and I've worked remote the entire time and have been through this kind of experience. Not Skype, but, you know, having the phone interview. And so it wouldn't be terribly unusual to see that happening. And where it gets tricky is they tell the user to download an application, and this is how you apply for the job. And, you know, you can almost hear the explanation about that and justifying it. Okay, can you download this? Just fill out the application. We can get started with the next steps. And of course, because they want the job, they go for it. The chance of them reporting this to anybody internal is almost zero, right?
Right. Yeah. Because they're in violation of some policy and probably also embarrassed that they are infected their computer while looking for another job. Yeah, it's just a bad situation all around for that employee and the bank, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, in the application, the screenshots and the analysis on Flashpoint, mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like a legitimate app. So one, there's probably really nothing in your mind to report other than the fact that you had to download this EXE. And two, are you really going to say you're out hunting for a new job?
Right.
On your company time? so yeah,
time
what's there
and
to report
equipment.
About this? What's that?
I said time and equipment too.
Yeah. I think this, what's interesting about this though, is beyond all of this, the setup of the scam, this makes a really interesting story to tell to your employees.
Yes, it does.
To your colleagues and stuff like that, because they can recognize themselves in it and we don't have to get technical. We don't have to write up all the details of this. Now, it turns out this thing was called the Power Ratunkba.
Something like that. God bless you.
It was a rat, basically. But we don't have to get into any of that. We just have to say it was a remote access application. They were tricked into applying for this job using something that gave the attackers remote access to the system. And let it go at that. It was just an application that they did, and this is what the impact was. Unfortunately for Red Bank, they caught it before anything really seriously bad happened, before they were reporting hundreds of thousands of records breached or something like that.
You know, Jason, this particular scenario, I was thinking of like several other things that you could have in your defenses to prevent against this. And solutions such as Bromium and similar ones come to mind, that when a user installs an application and puts it in a sandbox, they'd actually use the application. Not sure if it would have access to the internet or not. I think that is a configuration option, right? But it wouldn't be able to gain access to the system and or the network. So it, that would theoretically help, you know, barring any other circumstances, configuration or, you know, other exploits. That would really help this situation, right? At least throw an alert somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely technical controls you can put in place for this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, your comment about trying to block Skype is spot on, because, you know, okay, we're not going to use Skype, we're going to use Zoom, or we're going to use this, or we're going to use
FaceTime. Yeah, it could be a million things. Yeah.
Not going to end up the way you want. But there are things we can put on the endpoints, obviously, to help defend against the technical details of it. But what I think is cool about this is if you are, and hopefully if you are, doing things to communicate risk and things that are occurring out there to your colleagues, your coworkers, this is something that you could certainly write up and tell the story, something that they can tell other people and not feel like they're getting caught up in technical details,
right,
that they need to remember or something like that. This should be like the top of your employee portal or wiki or whatever it is you have.
Sure.
Or an email newsletter and say, hey, check this out. And this is something people can remember, and it helps them spot this type of scam later, you know, if they bump into it. Because, again, they're not being caught up in the technical details and saying, oh, I'm dumb, I don't understand computers. They can understand this. So I think this is a great story to go tell. We're wired to remember stories, and this is a great example to run out there and let our coworkers know about.
Mm-hmm.
So check it out here in the show notes. I think it's a fun read and something that's very useful to us in protecting our organizations.
Thank you very much, Jason. That will conclude this episode of Hack Naked News. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. See you next time.